As you come this morning with your hearts and minds open, ready to receive what God has in store for you this morning. And Brother Don McCann used to tell us, somebody told me this morning, said, now if I doze off, he said, don't worry, I didn't sleep real good last night. I said, don't worry about it. And Brother Don McCann used to tell us, he was an evangelist that came and preached revival for us several times. He said, look, if you can't stay awake, just lay on over and get a nap. There ain't no need in missing a good nap and a good sermon both. Amen? So we just trust that you just come and God just encouraged your heart this morning. And I tell you what, we live in some pretty discouraging times if you listen to the news. Amen? But we are blessed if you read God's Word and find out what God has done for us, what He says He's going to do for us, and what He's planned for us. Amen? We're excited about it. Turn in your Bibles this morning with us in the 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. We're going to take our text, begin reading at verse number 17, and read to the end of the chapter this morning. And the Bible says this, if you're able to stand with us as we read God's Word, we'd invite you to stand to reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. And He give us a word this morning just for us for this time. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believed. For the Jews require a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, of who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Brother Jim, would you take us this morning to the throne of grace? I want you to take heed to this. I want you to understand this. For Christ died for us in that while we were yet sinners. Amen. That's how much God loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to know this morning, on the authority of God's Word, and by the very message that the Apostle Paul is preaching and writing to the Corinthian church, For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom, we got so smart that we pushed God out of our lives. We got so smart in the garden that we didn't need to heed the Word of God. And we partook of the fruit that God said, you shall not. We got so smart that when God proclaimed His law and said, if man would live according to my law, they will be my people and I'll be their God and we'll have a special relationship. But man, got so smart. He couldn't even do that. And he began to pollute the Word of God and to change the Word of God. I like that old song, Paul's Ministry. Of course, it says, I counted on Adam. I counted on Cain. I counted on Jonah, but he was the same. I counted on Judas, but he proved untrue. So go tell the world, Paul, I'm accounting on you. God looked to man. God gave man the ability to make up his own mind. God gave man the ability to do what he wanted to do. And man, more often than not, has rejected God. But after that, in the wisdom of God, man knew not God. God would save him by the foolish. He loved you anyway. He sent his son to die. He sent his son for America, that he would die for America and for Americans that would believe. It's foolish to the world for me to be here to pray. You know, it's foolish for y'all to be here this morning just wasting your time. Brian and Angie, y'all down the ocean this week, wasn't you? I thought I seen that. Yeah. You know, according to the world, it's foolish for y'all to come back just so you could be in church on Sunday morning. Man, you ought to be down there still having fun. Hey, man, the ocean never saved anybody. Hey, man, there's some preachers down there that have preached the truth of the gospel that have seen a few souls get saved. Hey, man. To the world, Brother L's crazy, set up there at the Gilbert Lighthouse Pavilion on Sunday mornings and preaching to proclaim the truth of God's Word. The world thinks, that's just plumb foolishness, but you know what? People are getting touched. Amen. Amen. People are getting moved, and people are coming and talking to Brother L about the Lord. They had one got saved here just a few weeks ago, and got several more that God has really just moved this year in a special way. It pleases God by the foolishness of preaching. Why? Because he still loves us in spite of ourselves. He loves us in spite of how we reject him, because he understands us, and he knows us, and he sees us just how we are. I told him Sunday school class this morning how God created man in his own image and in his own likeness. And Chuck Swindoll commented on that, and he said, yeah, and man has done God, they've returned the favor and they've done likewise. Chew on that for just a moment. God created man in his own likeness and his own image. Well, man has got to the place where they decided to return the favor unto God and do likewise. Man has tried to create God in his image. Man has tried to make God to be what he wants God to be. Man, that's a profound thought. After man, the wisdom of God, man knew God. Man understood God. Man knew God. Man is aware of God. But generationally, we see God fading out of our families and out of our lives. Why? Because we want to make God in the image that we want him in. We want to contain God where we want him to be. We only want to let God have as much of our life as we think that he deserves. But God loves us anyway. And by the foolishness of preaching, he still saves souls that will believe in him, believe in his word, believe in his love and his compassion and his grace and mercy that he's bestowed upon man. In verses 22, he says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Men in their weakness are always looking for an excuse, always have an excuse and always looking for something else. When the Jews heard the preaching of the cross, the Bible said they want a sign. When the Greeks hear the preaching of the cross, they want carnal wisdom. When the world today hears the preaching of the cross, they've always got a yeah but to add to the preaching of the cross, the preaching of Christ. Yeah, but what if this? And yeah, but what? Yeah, nothing. And but nothing. There's nothing else. Our salvation is of the Lord through Jesus Christ. Plus nothing, minus nothing. And nothing can be added to it. The Jews require a sign, and it becomes a stumbling block. In the Greek, the word is a scandalon. And it translates over into the world, to the world, a scandal. Something that hinders their believing, something that they stumble over. You know, the blues, the Jews had a hard time believing that the Messiah could be hung on a tree because they wanted to proclaim Isaiah chapter number 11. The mighty counselor, the everlasting father, the prince of peace, all the might of the Messiah. But they wanted to exclude Isaiah 53. The scripture of a lamb that was going to the slaughter. The very prophecy that foretold of the suffering. And that's the way we get to that. We put stumbling blocks in the way. Well, how can I believe this when this is supposed to, Jesus was supposed to be this and Jesus was supposed to be that? No, Jesus was supposed to be what God said he was going to be. Not what you want him to be. The world today is dying and going to hell because they won't accept Christ for who he is, because he's not who they want him to be. Amen. And the Greeks require a sign. Mora. They require a sign. It's a stumbling block to the Jews. It's foolishness. They require a sign. And the Jews require, or the Greeks require wisdom. And they see it as foolishness. Mora, which is where we get our English word moronic, or moron, derives from the same word. The world today says we don't need that Jesus. That's just plumb foolish. That's just plumb moronic. You got to be a moron. Well, praise God. Count me among the elite of the moronic crowd. Amen. Because I believe it. I've trusted it. And I've seen the difference that it's made in my life. I've seen what it's done in others' lives. The world today says we don't need that. Just plumb foolish to believe you can go down there and some man that died on a tree can forgive you of your sins, cleanse you of your sins, and cause you to have eternal. Well, that's just the stupidest thing I ever heard. And to the carnal mind, it is so. But to the one who will allow the Spirit and who will listen to the Spirit of God as he speaks to their heart. He says over in Revelation 3:23, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That still small voice that you hear speaking to you. That uncomfortable feeling that you're feeling as the word is being preached. That's God dealing with you. That's God trying to reveal himself to you. That's God trying to give you some wisdom that you might understand his love and his compassion and the lengths to which he was willing to go that he might redeem you, he might save you, he might rescue you from the curse of sin. You can make excuses as to why you won't accept it. You can call it foolish and moronic and just plumb stupid, but it's still just God's love. Because God don't have to do things man's way. He says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You know why God prepared us a way of salvation and a way of deliverance, a way to live the Christian life the way that he has done? Because if he let man get involved in it, man would complicate it. As you've heard me preach, I've talked to people and tried to deal with them, and they want to plead their good works and that they're good people. And my question is always this: how good is good? Well, I give to the church, and I give to causes, and I give to this, and I give and I give and I give. Well, my question again is, how much is enough? If I gave all that I had in this world, would it be enough? If I done everything I could do, could I do enough? And anytime you let man get involved in it, it would be, well, you got to do this, but you got to do this too. See, that's what happened to the Jews that lived under the law. The priest began adding to the burdens. And Jesus told him, says, you lay burdens on these people's lives and on these people's hearts that even you won't live up to. Look at our politicians. Let's use them for an they're a great example.
Amen.
Amen. Get a hallelujah on that one, huh? Somebody going to shout here in a minute. Amen. They go down there and they pass laws that they exclude themselves from completely. They lay a burden on you. That's what the Sanhedrin, that's what the high priest and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes did when they came together. They made up laws that they were excluded from. Just like our politicians today. What was it? The Affordable Care Act, they call it. They pass the Affordable Care Act, and everybody has to abide by the Affordable Care Act, but they have exempted themselves.
Right.
If it's so good, why have you exempted yourselves?
Amen.
Because man has got involved in it. If we left salvation to man, man would say, well, you got to do this and this according to the Word of God, but you got to do this as well. That's what the religious crowd does. That's what man does. So God, in His understanding and in His foolishness and His wisdom and what He knows, was so much wiser than the wisest of men. And so much more prudent than the most prudent of individual that lived. And he said, what man needs is a simple plan of salvation. A simple means of deliverance. Unencumbered by things which man cannot accomplish. Paul said, it's not about the baptism. God didn't send me to baptized, but to preach. A simple message of my love and my compassion. A simple message of how I sent my Son into the world to die for a lost and a dying world will accomplish more than the wisest of men and the most prudent of individuals could ever come up with. And people will get saved. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger. He can save to the uttermost. Jesus said, I didn't come to preach to, I didn't come to minister to those that were healthy. He said, I come to preach to the ones that were sick. He said, they that are healthy had no need of a physician. But I'm here because sin has made my people sick. They made my friends sick. And I've come that I might be able to give them life. And the only way I can do that is the simplest way I know how. To do what they're unable to do. I can pay the debt of sin that they owe. I can go and hang on an old rugged cross. I can pay the debt of sin for the whole world. I can die for everybody. And everybody is equal because the ground is level at the foot of the cross. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, many mighty, many noble were called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things which are mighty, to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the world. It gets down to this one thing. The only thing that matters is if you've been born again. The only thing that matters is if you've laid aside all your preconceived notions, your preconceived ideals, your preconceived theology, your preconceived religion, and have taken God at his word. The simplicity of his plan, the simplicity of his gospel, the simplicity of his desire. He didn't make anything complicated. He kept it simple so that simple people like you and I, we don't have to be wise. We don't have to be rich. We don't have to be something spectacular. He takes the foolish things of the world and uses them to his glory. He takes unlearned and ignorant men and makes preachers out of them. The Pharisees and the Sadducees marveled at Peter and John when they preached. Man, these are unlearned and ignorant men. How do they know all these things? Because God has used them. He takes a simple plan whereby men and women, boys and girls, can come into the presence of God and be gloriously born again, become new creations, new creatures, new individuals in Christ, and be a part of a new family. It's simple. Because in the midst of it all, the only thing that needs to be lifted up is Jesus. Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Brother Jim and Sister Mary.